a man who's a national champion 1982 at North Carolina alongside Michael Jordan, James Worthy. He went on to become the head coach at North Carolina as well after a year at Notre Dame, after North Carolina at Florida Atlantic and Southern Methodist, longtime veteran NCAA coach, and a man who's got a book out right now, came out just right around Christmas, Rebound, From Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. Matt Doherty joining us on the show right now. Matt, we appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Matt, I want you to put on your Wayback hat and go into the time machine, okay? 1978, the New York State Empire Games team is playing a bunch of Canadian kids out at Stony Brook State, and I forget where the second game was. How much do you remember about those two games?
I remember two players in particular. David Cothard and Leo Routon. I remember David Cothard, and I'm like, this dude is really good. And Leo was a guy that I loved to play like. He reminded me of Rick Barry, who was my hero at the time. That was great experience. Reverend Ed Vischer, who coached Long Island Lutheran High School, we played them on Long Island, and we also went up to Canada and played.
We played you guys up here too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my brother Mark, who does the games on ESPN, and I, we were part of that team, and we were astonished when it was all said and done that we looked at you guys and like, wow, Matt Doherty's going to North Carolina. Audie Matthews is going to University of Detroit. Brett Baerup, the late Brett Baerup, he's going to Kentucky. Like we just kind of came back and thought, man, we just played against a big time team. So that was a great experience for us. And it's been great for me, Matt, to follow your career, playing and coaching. And I guess I'll tell you this, I'm looking forward to the summer and when the good weather comes and I can sit on a beach somewhere and read your book. But I guess what strikes me most is the time that you played and you learned to play. And then when you came up coaching, the evolution of players and how it really impacted it can really have an impact on one's coaching and leadership style.
Yeah. Well, you've got to, you really give credit to guys like in football, Mack Brown, Saban in basketball, Roy Williams, Boeheim, Coach K, that they can coach through, four decades and adjust because as much as you'd like to say, this is the way I do it, if you don't adjust, you'll be out. And so you've got to adjust with the times, but try to keep your core values in place.
Speaking with veteran NCAA coach, longtime NCAA coach, Matt Doherty. Matt, to that point, take me back to when you first started coaching. You correct me if I'm wrong, after your playing career, you get into finance, you leave finance and Wall Street, and you get into coaching as an assistant. Then you become a head coach. Before you started coaching, what kind of coach did you think you'd be versus the coach you ended up being?
Well, I thought I'd be, the Roy Williams, the Bob McKillop, and I think that's what I was. I mean, I played for both coaches, in Bob McKillop in high school, and then worked for him at Davidson, and then I played for Roy Williams when he was an assistant at North Carolina, and then worked for him at Kansas. And they were very organized, they were very fiery, intense coaches, and that's. That's the coach that I was. That's how I played. And it was well received at Notre Dame and not so much at North Carolina. But there are so many things that go on at a big, big program. The politics that go on that I didn't manage well.
Matt, when you reflect back, and I know this is in your book, You just talked about Coach K and Roy Williams and all these guys being able to morph and coach through different times. And we see somebody like a Bob Knight who maybe didn't evolve as well and maybe had a tough time. When you look back and you reflect, where do you think you could have, changed things up? Because you had such great athletes. And, I mean, that was your school, Carolina. There's the passion there. How do you... How do you navigate it differently when you get another shot?
Well, that's the whole idea about the book is I wanted to leadership lessons learned. It's rebound from pain to passion, leadership lessons learned. And I think that you have to look. I talk about the acronym STEVIT, the six no's of leadership. And you've got to know yourself. You've got to know your team. You've got to know your environment. You've got to know your vision. You've got to know the industry, and you've got to know the truth. And I think that knowing the environment, when I stepped in at North Carolina, I thought I knew the environment because I played there, but I didn't. And I take things for face value. And so when I'm told it's your program, run it how you see fit, that's what I did. You know, I brought my staff with me, which I got approval to do. I made some changes in the physical layout of the program. And those things weren't well received. They were received as being disrespectful to the program. And so people don't like change. I think that's the thing that I had to learn the hard way. I like change. I get excited by change. But if you're not initiating the change and you're comfortable in a position for years, you don't want change because you've got things running the way you want it to be run. And so when I initiated the change, it was not well received, even though a lot of what I did wasn't undone by Roy Williams. You know what I mean? So I was almost like the interim coach.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Matt Doherty, former head coach at North Carolina. In fact, 2001 AP Coach of the Year. Matt, just kind of piggybacking on the comments you just mentioned there. In prepping for the interview, I read a bunch of different things, but I saw the little blurb, the short video that you guys have in promotion of the book on YouTube. It's just, you know, 3 or 4 minutes long. But one of the things you said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I think you said, I was scorned in a public matter, my leadership was questioned, my character was questioned, and then you later said, but I also learned that I had a lot to do with it and that I should have managed things different. What did you learn, and what should you have done different then?
Well, I should have managed change better. You know, I just, you know, sharing with you that I came in and made change. I should have understood the environment better and gone slower with change. Even though I asked some of the right questions. Deep down, you know, Coach Smith didn't want, you know, like I was told by Coach Smith, it's your program, run it how you see fit. Okay, but I don't think deep down that's what he wanted. And it'd be tough for him to say, hey, I want to run the program through you, right, as he's recruiting me as the coach. But I wasn't mature enough, I wasn't wise enough to see that. And that's when I talk about the six no's of leadership. Know your environment. I should have read him better and managed up better, allowed him to manage some things through me as the head coach, which is, you know, I mean, he still had an office there. Bill Guthrie still had an office there. I should have managed that relationship differently.
Hey, Matt, has anybody come to you of any of the young coaches, or maybe not even young, inexperienced coaches or guys that have been assistants for a long time? Because you had a good track record as an assistant. You were on some good staffs. Have they come to you and said, hey, you know, tapped you on the shoulder, hey, what advice can you give me? Have you had any people approach you in that way?
Yeah, you know, through the years, yeah. I've talked at clinics, and I shared some of this story at clinics, and so – I've had people come, and then hopefully some coaches will use my book as a reference as they look to climb the ladder of coaching.
Speaking with Matt Doherty, and the book that he's speaking of is Rebound: From Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. You can buy it on Amazon or wherever you find your books in, you know, local bookstores, et cetera. I'm sure you can get it a number of different places. Matt, the thing that stands out to me as well, and I don't want to get too sort of philosophical here, but when we look back at the past year and everything that we've all lived through, you know, both pro and con, and what society has lived through, to me, the thing that stands out most, and we've never met before, is the fact that you sought out how you maybe needed to be better whether you did or didn't need to be better, you sought out the help or the knowledge or the expertise. You went out to learn more. And I think that that's maybe a lesson in itself, isn't it, that all of us could take, that if we don't know, go learn, go find out, or just try to improve yourself and don't just assume you always have the answers.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think that I remember going on this leadership journey, and a Fran Johnson, who was an executive coach, she said, hey, you're a lifelong learner. And that was in 2003. I never heard that term before. And I take that as a compliment. I do like to learn. I do like to ask questions. I like to ask why. I'm still learning. I'm an executive coach with Vistage, which is the leading executive coaching firm in the world. And we're always training. And, you know, 59, I went through a training exercise yesterday. I made some mistakes, but I learned and got better. That was always the number one goal of the teams I coached, to get better today. And just think, if we all had that kind of mindset, how much better we would be at the end of each year. And it's not, there's no shame in asking why or I don't know. I used to feel shamed when someone would use a big word and I didn't understand it, and I'd act like I knew what they were saying, and then I'd look up the word after the conversation was over. Now I just say, hey, what does that mean? You know, I'm a little more secure with who I am at 59 than I was at 39.
Matt, any desires to get back onto a bench, or, you know, get back into that level of coaching?
You know, it's hard. It's March is the worst month for me. It's a trigger, and I wrote my book about triggers and driving over the bitter river. And, you know, you see teams that, you know, are coaches, and you say, I should be there. I could be there. It's a drug. It's my drug, and I've got to deal with it. If there was an opportunity to go back to coaching, I would strongly consider it, yes. But there are so many tough jobs. I mean, you know, you see the excitement of college basketball, but you also, you know, you see Archie Miller got let go at Indiana. You see Greg Paulson got let go at Mason, Larry Krystkowiak. So, you know, it's a beautiful game, harsh business.
Hey, Matt, just even based on that, and this might sound redundant to the question I asked you earlier in the conversation, but you haven't coached since 2012 at Southern Methodist. I asked you about the coach you thought you would be. How much different would you be, if at all, whether it be your style, whatever it might be, if you were to get back into coaching? Would you be different, you think?
Great question. Yes, I think it would be different. And it kind of started to become different towards my time at SMU. Little things, like I'd sit down more. I delegated more. I allowed my assistants to run. One assistant, Larry Mangino, who's at Virginia now, he was my offensive coordinator. I allowed him to handle that. You know, I tried to manage confrontation better. I would kind of grab my nose if I started to feel like I was going to get a little intense, and that was a signal for an assistant coach to take over practice, and I'd walk to the other end of practice. So, you know, didn't sweat maybe the small stuff as much.
Hey, Matt, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to grab my nose when my kid starts bugging me. just grab my nose and walk away. The book is Rebound, From Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. Matt, we appreciate the time on the show today. Thanks for this.
Matt, great to chat, man.
I got to add one thing. I took my family to Toronto about 2-3 years ago on vacation. I went to the Hall of Fame, the Hockey Hall of Fame. I grew up a big Ranger and Islander fan. Chico Resch, Bobby Nystrom, Mike Bossy, Trotz, the whole. And I go in there in the simulator to go against the goalie. I want you to know, I was 5-for-10. I'm 6'7", 58 years old at the time, 57, online with like 10-year-olds. And my family's making fun of me, but they got the video. I went 5-hole with the wrister. I went 5-of-10. I just want you to know. I don't know if any basketball coaches that could do that.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. Hey, if you're shooting 50%, we'll take that, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
There you go.
Thank you very much. All the best, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, appreciate it. Bye-bye.